Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Coming hard every Monday night, Central 10 East. Giving out prescriptions for the Bears fan with a Bear disease.
Jumping in the chat room with the bar fries bringing knowledge. This show's an honest course if Bears football was a college.
This girl's a moderator, Dr. Phil is the host. Throwing dimes through the window from the open to the close. Talking live on the air, best known for my devotion. First name Phil, my last atotion.
Ask for Phil on Twitter, bringing crews close in touch.
I'm riding foreign country, singing O Canada.
BHL, floor on top, like saliva does backwash. I take this back to high school to take a football back course.
Yes, on the show, speak the serum of the truth. 365, Bears talk in the bar. Analyzing every one of Mitchell 77. Drop.
No doubt how it's elite, cause we never flip-flop.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Bill and this draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and this draft Dr. Phil guy. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk.
Breaking down the film, not a problem, get it straight. Other blogs focus on stats, we focus on the tape.
Bear down or up, BG's maple syrup.
Bears barroom worldwide, you never know who'll show up.
Marvel flipping pages,
the barroom's making shows. Sometimes we get the man without his head and pantyhose.
Call HR, the show's about the start.
And while you're at it, stick that barroom sticker on your car.
Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered.
BHL places tags, cause Fuller's got you smothered.
Draft
Dr. Phil, it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 Akeem Hicks.
Our line
keeps growing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time and in the window, we's blowing. Don't deny it that this show is a collaboration with a fan.
Bears Girl moderated,
Dr. Phil is the man. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live. Draft Dr. Phil guy.
Dumped again! Akeem Hicks.
The show where we always bring the truth.
Eddie Jackson! Touchdown Bears!
Trubisky to the 42-yard line! Oh my goodness!
Howard left side! To the 10! To the 5! Game over!
Bears Hour Live! Bears Hour Live! With Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live.
Of the brand new Bears Hour Live theme song. We have a full show for you tonight talking all things Bears, including what's going on with the Fuller, the looming tag deadline, the Landry Howard trade story that had fans riled up all weekend, our very own rumor rundown, and the first annual Doctor Awards presented to players from the NFL Combine. We also have a special guest with us tonight, Shane, the smartest man Mark saw. He will join us in a little while. But let's start this show like we do every week with your opening rant, Phil. Where do you want to start, Doc?
Well, let's take it from the top. First of all, I want to thank you, BG, for stepping up in the pocket. You and the super producer and really bringing this show together, allowing creativity to run through the end zone and out the back into the locker room and celebrate That's what it's about. You know, football to me is a passion, and so are the Chicago Bears and the team that I have in the Bears barroom. The Barflies are the oil that runs the engine, and thus that's why we do this. Aldo's not giving us big time dollars. So my real rant runs into dollars and cents, because common sense is what needs to reign supreme here in this environment in Chicago. Unfortunately, I'm nervous, because what has been a great offseason needs to get to where it should be. And that's focusing in on holes of the roster and not creating them. And when I look at the situation around the football, the National Football League, the league where they get paid to play, I see Dallas putting a tag on DeMarcus Lawrence. I see the, what am I thinking about over there? Freaking A. Who was the other kid who got the tag placed on him? I don't know. I just lost him in my head. But you see the teams placing the tags on their players to keep homegrown talent in-house. You look at the Redskins. Rumors are coming out that, you know, Kirk Cousins, as I said, on Bears Barroom is going to be a Viking. He's going to get paid because they held him as long as they could under the tag. In a business league, Ryan Pace needs to focus on business and the roster. That's his job. And money, when you have $90 million, and oh, by the way, another $10 million is added again to the cap. So you're looking at Kyle Fuller being a gamble. And what I mean by that is tomorrow, I know rumors are coming out that from Brad Biggs, and I respect Brad's work and his source in Hallis Hall, that Ryan Pace is going to allow Kyle Fuller to hit free agency. And for me, that is a ginormous, gigantic mistake to allow a player. We've talked about it many a times on Bears Barroom Radio, but I wanted to reemphasize this and hopefully breathe life into something that Ryan Pace is still on the eve of deciding. To me, Ryan, there's no need to make a hole when you have maybe $100 million of cap dollars to spend. And to ultimately hold on to homegrown talent is in a temporary time, in an understanding of communication with that player, that your goal is to get a long-term deal done. And if that's how you feel about the talent now, as you're talking and being clear with the fan and not hiding the truths anymore, if that's how you feel, then control that player and control the time that you have and for him to have, and think about what the salary is. Maybe other corners sign while he's franchise tagged to set up the docket for his place in line. You don't know what's going to happen if you allow it to leave. And unfortunately, that kind of gamble has burned us. You could say what you want about Alshon Jeffrey, and Shane has talked about it, and others have. I still think it was a mistake to let him go, because I felt like with a young quarterback, he needed some talent here. So you can't have it both ways, as an excuse for Mitchell and also not have the talent out there for Mitchell. So as they focus in on wide receivers now again, because you let one go, and who knows what would happen? Nobody knows. But I do know this. Kyle's a perfect fit. Kyle came back, played what he needed to play, how he needed to play to set the precedence. And when the market starts, he's the best corner in my assessment on the market. So why take a roster that's ascending and a player that fits and allow that to leave? To me, I will be livid on Bears 100 Proof tomorrow. I will be upset. There will be no way to talk me down, because I think you have every angle covered that I could check off for you. You can argue with me if you think he's not worth whatever penny amount, and he's only What's $2 million more? Shane said it on the last show eloquently. Well, you're going to overpay in free agency. Yeah, you're going to. So who out on the market are you going to overpay for? An unknown that might fit or someone you know that's in-house? To me, you don't take the chance, and that's my rant.
So I think you've got a lot of barflies that are going to be ranting and raving with you if in the next 18 hours the Bears don't place that tag on him, given that they've got till 3 o'clock tomorrow. And I got to remind you that there was a report about 2 weeks ago from Jason LaConfora that said this was going to happen. And that might be the first time he was right. So, if they don't tag him, who should we be going after to replace him?
Well, that's the hard thing, BG. I mean, you look at the ground warriors. Malcolm Butler, someone you're going to go after. Is the kid Robinson from the Philadelphia Eagles. I know people have talked about Tremaine Johnson from the Rams. Is he going to get tagged there? To me, this cornerback position, 100% agree with Shane. It's developed. You can get a corner in the draft that can come in here and start for you, but that's a gamble. Not every one of them is mentally prepared for the rigors of the NFL season and is talented enough. Now, this is a good cornerback class. I'm excited about it. But if I'm building for the future, a 25-year-old corner in Kyle Fuller versus some of the other people that are out on the market, and I'm sure there's others, but this is the top corner in my book and a fit. So, BG, I don't see a point in doing that and making this whole. You can tag the transition tag on the player, too, and still control him and allow him to go out there and get a deal or assess the market if we're going to talk Ryan Pace. I know it's fluid. Let him assess the market. All this, you know, Wall Street BS. When it's dollars and cents, come up, step up in the pocket, Pace. Put the tag on him. Put the transition tag on him then. If you don't want to, you're worried about guarantees and he's going to sign his contract like you saw Landry. That's, I don't even like the cornerback market as much as people do. For me, it's Fuller, and it should be that way. And it should send a message in the locker room. Those players like him. It's been known and said that he wants to be here. So get it done. Don't drop the ball again like you did with Jeffrey. Stop with the Bellamy's. Start getting the Rices in here.
So the chat room is divided on this one. We've got Trey Busy saying Fuller is going to make like a banana and split. And you've got Shane in the house saying just because Fuller hits the market doesn't mean he can't come back. Let's not forget that. So I think we're going to be talking about this throughout the night as well as on 100 Proof tomorrow, because we'll know what's happening with Fuller by then. Let's play the doctors and no barflies, not that kind of doctors. We're going to now hand out our very own first annual version of the Oscars.
Every year, they gather from colleges all over the globe as 32 teams send their smartest and most thoughtful minds to gather in one place. Indianapolis, Indiana. Where players from every conference and every level of football are poked, prodded, drilled, and measured to uncover the very best. It's football, and it's a football player's biggest act. And every year, these players have one single goal in mind.
I need me a doctor. I came to get a doctor.
This is Bears Barroom's The Doctors.
So So I'm in a ball gown. I'm hoping that you're in a tuxedo, Phil, because we're now going to hand out the first annual Doctors based on best performances this weekend at the NFL Combine. Are you ready?
Oh, yes. I'm excited about these Doctors.
We've got 13 awards to hand out tonight, so hold on to your hats, Barflies. The first award, the Doctor for the best overall quarterback at the Combine, goes to...
from the University of Wyoming, 6'4" 7/8", 237-pound quarterback, Josh Allen, running a 4.75 40, 33.5 vert, 112-inch broad, and a 6.9 cone. When you look at this football player, so many people have biases, and I call him the Cutler of this draft because so many people have predetermined. If we remember back in Bears barroom history, this was my number one quarterback last year over Watson. I felt very highly about this kid's talent and trait. And when, let's face it, when we're looking at the draft, we're looking about potential to be great. Josh Allen lit it up. 77-yard ball in the air is just... I don't even know how to explain it to people, but you see the ball coming off of him. You don't need frame rates. You just recognize pure talent and a pure passer. And I got news for those haters and the nerd herd out there that have already predetermined this young man's career. The same kind of thing that they did with Warren Moon transpired. You saw what happened with when Warren Moon was biased against and what he did when he came back in the league. Josh Allen, clear deserver of the first Doctor.
And the Doctor for the most impressive running back at the Combine goes to...
from the University of Penn State, 6'1", 233-pound running back Saquon Barkley, 4.4 40, 29 reps on the bench, 41-inch vert at 233 pounds, a 4.24 20 shuttle. What can I say about this football player that I haven't before? I said it on Twitter. I said it on Bears Barroom Radio way back in October. If you mixed Walter Payton and Barry Sanders in a blender to make a protein shake, Saquon would come out. He did everything that you ever could imagine a running back to do, BG, and he deserves the Doctor for the best running back.
All right, and our third award, the Doctor for the best wide receiver at the Combine, goes to...
from the University of Maryland, wide receiver, 6'5" DJ Moore, 210 pounds. I got to tell you, DJ Moore, a Shane Moneyman Marceau special, and myself, you know, coming on the Desirables video, this kid really impressed me. And when you look at the drills and everything with Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, I'm assessing everything that you're doing in this combine. And 4.4 240, 21 reps, a 38-inch vert, 132-inch broad. I mean, we're talking, this guy's explosive. And you have to really be impressed with the way DJ Moore handled himself in the drills, fluid, explosive. This kid working his way, and it was very close, because I gotta tell you, my boy Christian Kirk really impressed me too, but I gotta go with the truth always, and the Doctor at wide receiver goes to DJ Moore.
All right, our fourth award, the Doctor for the best overall tight end at the Combine goes to
another Penn State Nittany Lion tight end, Mike Gesicki, 6'6", 250-something pounds, 4.5", 4.40, 22 reps on the bench, 29-inch vert, 6.76 on the three cone drill. You gotta love what Mike Gesicki was bringing on the field. I mean, this kid is an explosive football player. His tape doesn't lie. You want to see, when you watch these combines, if the tape measures up to the athletic agility and skills. So, looking at this football player, tight end Mike Gesicki, getting the doctor for the tight end.
All right, our fifth award, the doctor for the most impressive offensive tackle at the combine, goes to...
from UCLA, surprising me out there, Colton Miller, offensive tackle. Colton coming in at 6'6", 307, 4.95 40, 24 reps, 31.5-inch vert. But here's where the impressive, you know, the 40 and the 121-inch broad. When you see that kind of size football player jumping out like that, it's just all legs and ass getting out there and exploding into people. And let's be honest, that's where those squatty bodies need to win. You want to win the matchup on the line of scrimmage. This football player was fluid in drills, impressed me. I got to go study a little bit more tape of this football player because the numbers are so impressive. He's a guy that makes you go back. We always talk about this. Somebody you really got to go do a little bit more on the film side, because in this doctor's award, you're talking about the combine, and he was the most impressive to me.
All right, our next award, the doctor for the best overall offensive guard, goes to...
from the University of Texas, El Paso, offensive guard and friend of the super producer, Will Hernandez. You got to look at Big Willie style here. 5.15 40, 37 reps on the bench, a 7.59 cone, 104-inch broad. This is a man child, not only on the bench, 37 reps. This guy is fluid, and people label him a mauler, and that 5.15 40. How many times is an offensive lineman, I always say this, is going to run their 40? This guy's quick, agile. He did all the drills. A lot of people love Nelson. For me, I just absolutely got to tell you, the tape doesn't lie. Willie Hernandez not only impressed me at the Senior Bowl, not only impressed me on his tape, but really blew up the combine for an offensive guard the way I want them. And that is strong, angry, and technically sound. And Will Henderson, Willie, offensive guard doctor award. Hernandez. Call him Henderson.
Our next category, the doctor for the best overall center at the combine, goes to...
from the University of Iowa, Mr. Daniels out there, 3.5 overt, 21 reps, 4.4 short shuttle, showing that kind of quickness in there. You got to love that. 7.29 three cone. I think he was second or third in the three cone. Watching this guy's tape, I wish he ran the 40 because I wanted a 40 time on him because I didn't get one. But watching him in drills and watching how he moved, I was very, very impressed with this football player and the numbers. I think he was second or third in the vert as well, talking about that explosiveness. I think Colton Miller was number one in the vert. But this kid is something you got to keep your eye on. Very well coached Iowa offensive lineman. So he will get my center award.
Moving on to our next category, the doctor for the best overall defensive tackle at the combine goes to...
from the University of Alabama, this Daron Payne of Alabama, defensive tackle, 6'2", 311 pounds, ran a 4.95 40, 27 reps, 28.5 vert, 107 broad that I like out of a defensive tackle, and a 7.58 three cone. Kid not only has impressive tape, impressed at the Senior Bowl. There seems to be a running theme here, but Payne went out there and in drills just looked the part. He looked NFL ready. And I was very close with the kid Shepherd from the small school. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know the smartest man will remember, but it was very close with though. But I got to give the edge to Daron Payne, just bringing the pain. So Daron Payne with the defensive tackle award.
Shepherd is from Fort Hays State.
Thank you, BG. Look at you.
He's also Canadian. The next award for the best edge rusher at the NFL Combine goes to...
from the University of Texas, San Antonio, edge rusher Marcus Davenport, 6'6". You're looking at this football player at 270 pounds, running a 4.58 40, 22 bench, 33.5 vert, a 124 inch broad, a 7.23 cone. Every check of the box I want out of an edge rusher, this football player brings it. That 4.58 40 to me at his size is impressive as hell, but the way he moved in drills, the way this guy has a natural ability to rush the passer on film, the way he played at the Senior Bowl, again, one of our desirables in the video end of things, Marcus Davenport, edge rusher, University of Texas, San Antonio, gets the doctor.
We are almost out of awards, but we've got an award for the doctor. For the best linebacker,
6'6" from Virginia, 6'5" from Virginia Tech, 253 pound inside linebacker, Mr. Controversy. Let me just put an end to this. Checked every box, 4'5", 4'40", 172 inch broad, 19 reps on the bench. The kid is a fluid, agile athlete out there. And watching him move and watching his tape, you can honestly see why Mike Mayock continued to talk about how a versatile piece like this, how the comparisons goes. To me, it really is special. And when you see a freak of an athlete, but you see the toughness and the instincts on tape, then you know that kind of football player is going to be special, and that's how you do this. And to me, Tremaine Edmonds of Virginia Tech, Shane's boy, again, getting the doctor for his performance at linebacker.
The next award, the doctor for the best cornerback at the Combine, goes to...
from the University of Iowa, two Hawkeyes, two Nittany Lions, the Big Ten's being represented. Josh Jackson of Iowa, 6'1", 195, 4'4", 940, 18 reps, 38-inch vert, 123 broad, 6.86 cone. And then I know people were a little critical of his backpedal on the broadcast and whatever have you, but when you watch him in drills and you isolate and you try to get nitpicky, this football player, again, checking boxes. My number one corner, also in the desirables. To me, it wasn't even close. This football player is impressive out there and what he brings to the table. So Josh Jackson of Iowa with the cornerback doctor.
The doctor for the best safety at the Combine goes to...
from from Florida State University, 6'3", 250-pound Derwin James. And to me, you know, people are going to argue about Fitzpatrick, but 6'3", almost 6'3", 215-pound, 4'4", 8'40", 40-inch vert, 143 broad. I mean, it's almost 12 feet that he's leaping and explosive. 21 reps on the bench. The numbers don't lie. The fluidity out in the football field and the confidence. We talk about it all the time, about guys that are going to set the tone, that are going to bring their confidence and swagger onto the Bears. This football player is something special, and watching him out there, to me, he just jumped off the field, and that's Derwin James with my safety doctor.
All right, our final award for the night is not a specific position award. It is the Courage Award, and it goes to...
from University of Central Florida, linebacker Shaquem Griffin, 6'1", 228, broad 117, 4'3", 640, 20 reps of 225 pounds. Listen, this football player obviously has a handicap and a disability that he doesn't even see as a disability. The ultimate underdog, the ultimate bias. The people already calling and saying where he should be, and he keeps proving people wrong. I got chills down my spine and my arms when I watched him take to the bench press. And I just can't say enough about a man's character and courage. Now, mind you, this kid wasn't even invited to the combine. That right there, throughout the offseason and his all-star performances, where people and highly touted offensive linemen couldn't block him in the pass rush. And people just, the energy around him is infectious. And that kind of energy, it ignited out on the field too. And the guy ran the fastest 40 at linebacker in the history of the combine. Now granted, Phil, he's going to be a safety, he's going to be this. He's listed as a linebacker. The kid has a knack and an instinct for pass rush. I don't care what his size measurables are. Some people understand it and know how to use it. Elvin Stuberville, Dwight Freeney from Connecticut. Those guys understand how to use their body. This guy's special. Something about him. And I couldn't go on the first ever Doctor's Award and not give Shaquem Griffin, from University of Central Florida, undefeated, mind you, a doctor, for the Courage Award. So, Shaquem Griffin, 2018 Courage Award from the Draft Doc.
I have to agree with you. And if Barflies and listeners haven't read his open letter to all of the NFL GMs, I tweeted that out yesterday after watching him. And if you're not inspired by reading that or watching him play, I'm not sure what to tell you. So I will tell you that we will be posting all of the winners of the doctors tomorrow morning on Bears Barroom, because some of our barflies in the chat room disagree, and disagree loudly with you, Phil, on who you selected.
Well, it wouldn't be a real room of analysts if they didn't. So I respect and I love disagreement.
I anticipate a heavy thread of debates tomorrow. All right, let's shift gears and let's bring in Shane, the smartest man in the bar room. Shane, are you out there?
Yeah, I was just trying to flag down the orchestra to play Phil off stage like they do on the award shows, but they weren't listening to me either.
No one does.
No one listens to Shane.
All right, guys. I was talking and texting with you all weekend, and we were even ready to do a special breaking news edition of Bears Are Alive if the rumors of the trade between Miami and Chicago for Howard and Landry was a done deal. It had Twitter a complete mess. I personally saw people jumping ship to other teams, people giving up on Pace. We ran a poll on BBR where 53% were ready to riot. Let's talk about what went down and what's likely to happen now that the cap has just been set at $177.2 million. Have at it, guys.
Well, I'm going to let Shane attack this because he was the one who actually called me. I was actually in a meat shop buying steaks.
He was yelled at his butcher. True
Go
story.
Ahead, Shane. It's the truth.
No, when it broke, you know, let's be honest. We're a bunch of teenage girls at best when anything happens when it comes to the Bears, and I'm just as bad. But if you took 35 seconds to sit down and review what was out there, put it to trade, Miami really has no leverage whatsoever. You know, they've made it known that they would prefer to trade Landry, and for them to essentially get back a Pro Bowl level running back, sorry, David Kaplan, that's 23 or 24 years old, and plus move up in the draft to get a little bit closer to quarterback territory, it didn't make a whole lot of sense for Chicago. Chicago needs more of a payoff than that. I mean, if you're talking, you know, 8-for-11 swap that included Landry, that's a little bit different. But for the Bears to be giving up their best offensive weapon at this point to help solve a problem at wide receiver, to me, it didn't make much sense. And there's been rumors around there saying that Chicago and Baltimore are the only two teams left in on Landry, and they're both lowballing Miami. That they're doing their job. That's exactly what they should do, because I know a lot of people don't want to admit it, but at the end of the day, money is always a factor, and whoever signs or trades for Jarvis Landry is going to be giving up a bunch of it. So that has to be factored in also. But, you know, BG, you brought up the fans jumping ship, and that's just part of it. We saw a lot of that with the Trubisky trade, and even when the Bears went up for Leonard Floyd. I thought Phil was going to jump off the building that night when they didn't trade up for Laremy Tunsil. But like I said, that's part of being a fan, short for fanatic. But I really believe that the Bears are still in on this, and I think it's just going to take some time. Let's not forget, about 5 minutes before the league year started back in 2012, I think it was, or 2013. It was either 2012 or 2013. That's when the Brandon Marshall trade broke. It was literally minutes before the league year started. So I think we could see some of that maybe unfold on the 14th, because Miami isn't in, they're not in cap hell, but they're pretty close to it, and they don't want that almost $16 million tag hanging above their head when they want to make some moves to improve their team.
Well, even if they're in a no-win situation, they're going to win because they're going to get something back. So if people could look at the Miami situation fully knowing that they understand they're probably not going to keep that football player. To me, I think you have the dumbest situation over here with Kyle Fuller being Landry and not owning a possible chess piece with which, if you want to move on from them, or like you said, use the transition, here they're going to get something rather than nothing. And that's where I feel like Pace has dropped the ball, as well as other things. And if he does again, this isn't a fanatic in me. This is a coach right now. That's just dumb. Just absolutely is. Yes, trade for Landry. Get involved in that. You need to improve the wide receiver position. The Shane asking me to sit down. Are you sitting down? I'm in a butcher shop, Shane. No, please tell me what's going on. I'm like, and I'll tell you the truth. You could visualize me when he's telling me, get this, the Bears are trading Jordan Howard to the Dolphins for Jarvis Landry and a third-round pick. And my reaction, as Shane could tell you, was not good. As much as I love Jarvis Landry, again, I felt like you're creating a hole. You're taking a Pro Bowl caliber football player and putting a receiver when a guy that touches the football a hell of a lot more and sets the tone. So I was livid, BG. I literally ran my hand down a cold window of one of those refrigerators where meat is and just like, I can't believe this is happening. And the butcher shop guy's like, what's wrong? So it wasn't a good day, but I'm glad it got cleared up. But to be perfectly honest, the Bears to me would have been, you would have to like just blow me away with a Saquon Barkley move up to cover what you have as a known commodity.
Well, the chat room is sharing where they were when the rumor broke and what they were doing and what ledge they were about to jump off of. And we also have a theory being proposed in the chat room, which I saw online yesterday, that a certain Dowell Loggins is the one who potentially started this rumor.
Can you imagine if Jordan got traded to Miami after he called them a vanilla yeah. and everyone was calling out? I said that to Shane thereafter. I go, he's going to go there after he said, like, so friend of mine who's connected in the league was like, this is a crock of shit. That was his exact DM to me up on Twitter, and it turns out it really was. And the Bears came out and said, there's no, or Ian Rappaport through the Bears. But Shane did have a good point. And Shane, if you want to talk about it, Ian Rappaport, as connected as he is, he's faltered when it comes to the Bears.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we just have to look back to last draft day. Adam Schefter is the same way. We all watched one unfolded on draft day when the Bears traded up and everybody was saying Solomon Thomas. I mean, I still have it on my DVR. Adam Schefter, Jay Glazer, and Ian Rappaport. All three of them said this move is for Solomon Thomas. This is who Ryan Pace has been coveting the entire time. And people can say whatever they want to about Moon Mullen. If you do a Google search, pre-draft last year, he was the only guy that put out an article that said, don't be surprised if the Bears are willing to make the move up in the draft for their quarterback. Moon Mullen put that out there. So These guys are right sometimes. I mean, Lockenfora is wrong all the time, but these guys have their moments. But you know, Phil, you brought up the thing with Kyle Fuller, and yes, I know you don't like to look at the business side of it so much, but to me there is a big difference. I mean, at least with Jarvis Landry, you're talking about a guy that's been in the Pro Bowl three times, that hasn't missed any games. Yes, there's questions about on-field speed that gets a little bit overrated, but to me he doesn't carry as many question marks as a guy like Kyle Fuller does. And I want Kyle Fuller back in the worst way. But at the end of the day, I can't sit here with a clear conscience and say that there isn't a long list of issues that Kyle Fuller has to live up to. And kind of, you know, showing if he has enough heart last year and not being healthy and not playing well. Let's not forget, this was a contract year for him. That all factors into it. So I think, you know,
This is the thing. Everyone goes to that. But what if he didn't play well? Because he can't play well. So Kevin White, can he be great? When we've seen him healthy, he has shown nothing. Right. This is a guy that's shown sign. And that's all you can go by.
Kyle Fuller played well the first month of his rookie year. And then he had a couple of moments here and there. But overall, it's been inconsistent.
But the whole team has been inconsistent.
They're not paying the whole team, Phil. Kyle Fuller.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, he's a fit.
Right, but we're not
competence around him.
Yeah, he is, but he's a fit when he's healthy and when he's motivated. And there's a question mark: is he going to be motivated? I'm not trying to say I don't want Kyle Fuller the player back, but you can't. There's legitimate questions involved in this. And just because Kyle Fuller hits the open market doesn't mean that Kyle Fuller isn't coming back. You know, Adam Hoge on our show said he put it at 75%. There's a lot of people saying, even in print today, Kyle Fuller wants to be a Bear. And did you see
okay,
that?
So what? I don't agree with any of them or any of this. And I know I'm right because I've seen so much wrong with the Bears.
Because the finances doesn't matter to you at all.
No, it does matter. But when doesn't it matter? When it, look at this. You've talked about this before, and I'm not going to use stats, but how many corners go on to other teams and they become successful? The average, as you said, is iffy at best. It's hard to remember someone, oh, he signed here, he went over there. Janoris Jenkins went from being a star to being almost cut this past year because there's problems. To me, you only can do what, just like a heavyweight fighter or a boxer, you're only as good as your last fight. To me, we saw what he is, and he's a fit, and we listed down the positives. Now, you want to talk business? Let me give you a business decision. Control with 112 or 101 million dollars, okay? So are you going to give him $14 million guaranteed on a tag, or are you going to settle, I'm only going to give him $10 million? That $4 million, to me, is dumb gambling. It's just dumb. You didn't. You valued for Aaron and Phil, John and Joe, not Phil, for the Bears.
If you tag Kyle Fuller, any contract moving forward from that point, if you franchise tag him, is going to start off at 15 and some change. Right,
You gave Mike Glennon. Glennon 18 because he plays quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a position that who are you going to fill? Who are you going to sign over Fuller? Not you, but I know you want Fuller. But
I do, but Phil, my point is you're looking at it that it's a done deal if he hits the open market, that he's 100% gone, and I don't buy that.
It's a 50-50 shot. That's how I'm looking at it. I don't gamble.
They're also. Yeah, you are gambling. You're going to be gambling with what's better. What's a better deal? To sign Kyle Fuller and franchise tag him for 1 year, or to let him hit the market and get his value? If he's said to you, and we don't know if he has or hasn't, but maybe he said to the Bears, "Let me go out see what my value is, and I will come back to you with an offer."
Why don't the Dallas Cowboys do that with DeMarcus Lawrence? Why don't the other teams do that with their – why didn't Miami do it with Jarvis Landry? Because they know they have a piece that's to their puzzle. Anybody sitting in front of me, any fucking
– So what happened with Josh Norman? What happened with Josh Norman, Phil?
He got franchise tag. Josh Norman's afraid to put his faith into someone and tackle. That's what's – the problem with Josh and the other kid that got traded to LA.
He got franchise tagged and it got rescinded.
Yeah, you could do that too. You're still not locked in until he signs it. He could sign it tomorrow like Landry did, and then you can't rescind it.
But Phil, my point is you have to look at it from a wider lens by saying you may be giving your rather than the 1 year, $15 million, there's a chance maybe you could sign him to 4 years, $50 million. You see what I'm saying? And which one? And which
also,
one, Phil, which one's a better deal? Would you rather have Kyle Fuller on a 1 year contract that's guaranteeing him $15 million, or would you rather sign him to a 4 year deal for $50 million? Because if you franchise tag him, you're never gonna get that type of deal for him.
Agree with you. I can turn around and say you're going to work.
He's going to be guaranteed. He's going to be
$14 million.
He'll be guaranteed almost, because if you franchise tag him this year, it's very unlikely he's ever going to. It's very unlikely to me that Kyle Fuller is going to sign an extension because of the money, because he's going to be guaranteed so much more. His starting start-off point is going to be that tag number.
All right, but that's what the price is. What is the open market? What did Janoris Jenkins get? What is Tremaine going to get? That's what I'm saying.
Who had a better track record in going into free agency? Janoris Jenkins, Tremaine Johnson, or Kyle Fuller? Kyle Fuller, you have
Jenkins had all these off-field problems. And Kyle Fuller, I can give you the explanation.
And he had turnovers on the field. And that's what's going to get you paid. Phil, if Kyle Fuller had 7 interceptions this year, you know what? He's going to get franchise tagged. Yes.
Okay. So I'm saying I could see that he's a fit and he belongs. There's no gamble to me, because the only gamble, I could turn around and still get him to a long-term deal. I could still rescind. I can trade. I control the destiny, not Kyle. Kyle wants to be back? Okay, under the guides of the tag. To me, it's a layup. It's not a three-point wish, and that's what you're making, a hole in your roster, and now you're gambling, because where are you going to fill it?
You're guessing there too, Phil, because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. If Kyle Fuller wants to be back and he goes to Baltimore and gets an offer for 4 years, $50 million, and then he comes back to Chicago and says, hey, this is what I got from Baltimore, and the Bears sign him, then guess what? Are you going to say that Pace made the right play?
If Pace loses him to New England.
No, listen.
Are you going to say it's the right play?
No, I'm asking, what are you going to say? Is it, what's a better deal, 1 year, $15 million to Kyle Fuller, or 4 years and $50 million to Kyle Fuller? Which one would you rather have moving forward on this team?
All you're doing is 4 years, $50 million. What's his signing bonus? $13 million? You save two?
You're signing.
I don't care about guarantee, Shane.
You're saying that you wouldn't rather have a guy under a long-term contract then, and that's foolish.
I'm saying it's smart.
Then of course it matters.
I'm saying I'm smarter because you're saying, well, we don't know. And I'm saying on a one-year deal, you're essentially getting a prove-it deal again. So you're going to get the best out of the football player. Now you control him. You also can negotiate that long-term deal in the future. And instead
of
$10 million,
I'm saying?
I'm guaranteeing 14.
You see what I'm saying, though, Phil?
Who cares?
You're taking the best scenario possible for the franchise tag. You're saying tag him, take the option off the table of him leaving, because then I have the option of signing him to a long-term deal. But then you're saying if you don't tag him, you're saying that there's almost zero shot of signing him to a long-term
deal. I can guarantee you when someone, the grass might be greener on somebody else's lawn.
And then what do you do next?
Maybe he makes a mistake.
What do you do next year? What do you do next year on
draft
a franchise tag?
You're going to be drafting a first round corner anyway.
You're going to be doing that anyway. You're going to be drafting multiple corners probably this year.
You drafted four defensive backs in the fourth round. You're trying to fit it. You found a fit. To me, it's not even an option. Tag, control, extend, work on the next year and decide how you're going to do it. But you're still going to have the same power because you're just going to have a player working on a deal.
One thing that you can't discount too in this is everybody knew that Alshon didn't want to be back, and I know you'll say that shouldn't matter. But when you have a guy,
to me,
well, okay, it doesn't matter. That's fine. Kyle Fuller has said he wants to be back. He said that on the record. He wants to remain a Bear. So you've taken that into consideration too. Where is Kyle Fuller's best chance to have success? To me, that's in Chicago. I think Kyle Fuller knows that. I think Ryan Pace knows that. And I think Vic Fangio knows that. And I think that that's going to be used, you know, in these negotiations also. I'm not going to be surprised if Kyle Fuller, I think you think he's going to go out there and he's going to get a day one contract that's going to blow the
doors off. I know he's going to get a contract. I know four teams that really love this football.
So you think he's going to gamble. What's his contract going to be for? You think
he's just going to those numbers? I don't know, honestly.
You think he's going to be a So do you think he's going to be a day one signing right off the bat, and the Bears are going to have no shot to match?
I'm not 100% sure. I would not lie to you, but I am afraid that the possibility for a Carolina, a Kansas City, a L.A. Rams, and a New England Patriots, they love this football player, that they come into the fray and say, we want this football player. Seattle could come in and say, you know what, we're going to cut Richard Sherman and pay this 25-year-old who fits our scheme. Don't take that chance. Don't take it, and don't lose out like you did with Alshon. To me, Shane, that's it. Business starts with football. It ends with money. And that's what winning organizations do. Say what you want about the Cowboys, but they recognize how the pass rush market is terrible. They put the tag on a pass rusher. The cornerback market, to me, he's the best.
Are we gonna
argue Malcolm Butler?
Are we going to praise the Cowboys for their financial responsibility just because they tagged DeMarcus Lawrence? I mean, they're littered with horrific contracts throughout their defense, and not
where,
so much
are
on
they
their
in
offense.
The cap? How much cap room do they have?
I don't We're have the numbers in front of me.
They've done crazy contracts, but you know what? They're still signing players there, boys. Nerd herd. They still make moves.
And they were out of the playoffs just like we were, too.
Wow. And I'm going to interrupt this debate to let Barflies know.
Oh, you're still here, BG?
I am still here. I just popped some popcorn. I opened a beer. And I'm waiting for this to continue on 100 proof tomorrow. We are at the 1 hour mark, and we are not close to being done. So I'm hoping that everyone sticks with us.
There goes that show flow.
Again, fired up like Air Jer at a freaking pizza parlor right now.
I will tell you that the chat room is in favor of one of the two of you. And I'm not going to tell you who, because we're actually going to run a poll after this podcast airs tomorrow to see where Barflies land.
Beautiful.
Right, guys? There is even more rumors that I want you to debate, but we're going to do it in a rapid-fire segment that we're calling the Rumor Rundown. I'm going to give you the rumor. I was going to give you 30 seconds to react, but I think I'm going to give you a minute now, because Lord knows you can't keep it to 30 seconds. And we're going to alternate rumors. Are you guys ready?
Beautiful. Yes.
Shane, I'm going to start with you. Rumor number one, the Bears will pursue two wide receivers in the free agency, and one will be Albert Wilson of the Chiefs. Go.
Well, back to Kyle Fuller real quick. I'm kidding. No, I think I've said for months the Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears are big game fishing. I think there you will see two wide receiver signed in free agency. I think one obviously is going to be Albert Wilson. I mean, when you have a GM of another team come out and say, well, Matt Nagy's in Chicago, that's pretty much the writing on the wall there. I think you're going to see two wide receivers, and I think you're also going to see Trey Burton here.
Whoa, he's breaking signings.
Are we out of time? We're out of time. Oh,
he had time.
I wanted to give Phil some extra seconds to go over, because I know he will.
Hey, I said we'll do this segment in 30 seconds, and I would step up in the pocket. Yes, ma'am.
All right. You are going to step up in the pocket, because the next rumor is to you. Allen Robinson of the Jaguars is coming to the Bears. And go.
This is going to be very, very contentious, because are they not going to put the tag on him? He's definitely somebody that if he opens up, I was 100% behind Shane when he said, that's your focus. Then you go after that football player. But to me, this rumor is full of crap, because it's not 100% that he's going to be the Bears. But the Bears should spend that $101 million of cap space they have and go after Allen Robinson, because he gives you a dynamic, versatile fit and opens up what you want to do with the draft.
Oh, my Lord, we just made history. You did it in 30 seconds.
I can do it.
Phil does a lot of things in 30 seconds.
Keep it clean, guys. Keep it clean. And our third and last rumor, Shane and Phil, I'm going to give you each a chance to react to this one, starting with Shane. The rumor is we are bringing back Josh McCown to the Bears.
Josh McCown, BG with the name butcher right off the bat.
Absolutely.
Eh?
I don't know. I think people connect the dots there. I don't know. I really don't see that happening. I think that there's probably some legs to the Chase Daniel thing. But with this young team, if it's me, we have 2 fourth-round picks. If there's a quarterback there that I like that has some raw potential that I can mold, and I have zero problem with investing a decent pick, like a fourth rounder, into a quarterback to learn under Nagy and Trubisky and like that. Josh McCown is just really a little better version of Mark Sanchez to me. That's going to cost you a whole bunch more money, and he's got to be pushing 40 years old at this point, I think. He's played for about 30 of the 32 teams. I don't know. I like Josh the player. I think he is a fit, but I'd rather invest my money elsewhere in a younger player.
Phil, over to you.
For me, I love this rumor, and I would love the signing of it. For the record, I think he's a perfect locker room leader of men, a perfect leader to help assist Mitchell Trubisky in the journey. He's excellent at run pass option stuff and being an athlete, whereas Mark Sanchez completely lacks that part to his game. And he's somebody that can come in and step in. Let's not forget what the quarterback position goes through in Chicago. I'm never going to wish anything on anybody, but there's been a past history of injury. And he's someone I would trust under center, as well as helping Mitchell become the best he possibly could be. To me, that's the kind of signing you do with all this money. I like this rumor. Is it going to happen? I'd say it's about a 70% chance that I know the Bears have some interest in. 60%, I'll say. But I would go for that 100% and be happy.
All right, guys. We also had a lot of questions from listeners and followers who have been using our brand new hashtag, AskBHL. Let's see what they want to know. Phil, let's start this off with you. Bob at Chi-Town Buster asks, Taequann Mizzell on contract till 2020 was a college standout, but we haven't seen him on the field for the Bears. Do you think Nagy working with the offense will let him take on a role?
Yeah, that's a great question because we don't know what Mizzell is. He was a scat back, great hands, great quickness. Is he someone that is going to fit what they're doing? Absolutely. Is he someone that could play in the slot and be used in what you saw Tariq Cohen? I don't have that answer because I haven't seen him on the NFL level whatsoever. Good running back in college. It reminds me of a Theo Riddick type. So he can be that third down type of runner and receiver. He has great hands and quickness. So I think he's a fit. I think if anything, we'll find out. But right now, I honestly don't. I would be lying if I said, yeah, absolutely. I just haven't seen enough of that football player because of the coaching staff that we have. I think he dressed for 2 games and was on kick return as a blocker, for God's sake. So that's the problem with what you had in coaching. Right now, with the new head coach and his offensive staff, if Mizzell is anything, we're going to find out if he is.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. We've seen Ryan Pace have a penchant for bringing in mid-round running backs, and it's this. I'm looking at it the same type of way. If there's a running back that falls, and I mean there's going to be a lot of them in this draft because it's extremely deep the way that I'm looking at it. If there's a guy there, I have no problem whatsoever investing into the running back situation in the draft and letting, well, his nickname is Smoke, letting Smoke and whoever they may, I mean, you see, they had a meeting with Ronald Jones from Florida State and, you know,
USC.
Or, yeah, I'm sorry, from USC. So, you know, it is interesting to see. I think they're going to, it's going to be a guy that brings versatility. Mizell has that. So it's going to be interesting, but he alone is not going to prevent me from drafting a guy if somebody falls.
All right, guys, our next two questions come from two different Chris's. Chris at BearsFan4Life77 asks, if Pace bungles the Fuller free agency situation, will he or should he completely lose the fan base? And Chris Armstrong asks, who will join me in a pitchfork and torch Hallis Hall demonstration if Fuller is not tagged or re-signed?
I'm not showing up for that, Chris. I'm scared of women with pitchforks. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the fan base, much like the rumor of Jordan Howard, elicited a lot of light for the national narrative, as well as the local media, David Kaplan, who is going to come on and talk about it with us, BG, at some point at Bears Barroom about Jordan Howard. I thought you saw the kind of angst that a player like Jordan Howard, I feel like if Pace doesn't tag him, I know how I'm going to feel. I'm sharing it right now with you. So I know there's a lot of people that are going to be in my boat, much less in Shane's. And if I could get to Chicago, I'd be there with you because I'm tired of it. I'm really tired of seeing homegrown talent let go and go somewhere else. Corey Graham, these players, you just saw the talent. And why does it go? Because Lovey didn't like him? No, the GM has a responsibility. Keep the football players here. Get it done. To me, I think the fan base is going to be heated.
All right. Zeke at DeBears_54 asks, thoughts on Lorenzo Carter playing opposite of Floyd?
Well, I love Lorenzo Carter. I just think the world of that football player. I think a lot of people attach, and I'll let Shane talk about it in a second, Georgia and Georgia, but this is a completely different football player. In fact, he was second to my boy Marcus Davenport as far as edge rushers were in the draft in the Doctor Awards because he was so impressive. Him and Sweat from Florida State, or Swee, however we say his name, those two guys really jumped out. You know, Carter is somebody that I feel like, yes, the relationship and past with Floyd will speak, but really ultimately his play and performance, he's going to be rising up draft boards. Don't be surprised in a pass rushing meeting. You see how light it is in free agency, and the Bears have one guy under contract as a pass rusher, and Kyrie Irving, I believe, is still on the roster. So it is importance, and I would not be upset at all if the Bears drafted that young man.
Shane?
Kyrie Irving plays for the Celtics, but that's for another show, Phil. That's cool.
Oh, what's his name? Isaiah Irving. I'm sorry. I don't even watch basketball. How do I do that?
No, coined yesterday Lorenzo Carter Day, and if you like Leonard Floyd, I don't know how you can't like Lorenzo Carter. I mean, overall, I think Floyd showed a little bit more in college, and I think he's got a little more of a frame to carry, to possibly bulk up a little bit more than Carter can. But that guy at his size and what he's putting up for numbers in the combine. The combine is really built for a guy like that. But Phil can attest to this. You know, the Bears need speed on both sides of the ball. That's one of the most overlooked things with this team. and you can never have enough guys that can just get after the quarterback. And when this whole process started, I was hoping we could get a guy like Carter. If we ended up trading down in the second and picking up a third rounder, I was hoping maybe we could get him in that range. And honestly, now I think we'll be lucky. We'll be counting our lucky stars if he falls to our second rounder that mm-hmm. we'll have, you know, at this point, because it's just going to take one team. Every NFL coach is the same way, and these defensive coordinators, they're not looking so much at the production. They see a guy that's got that whole bag of tricks, you know, in his arsenal, and they want to figure out how they can unearth it. And the thoughts of having him and Floyd on the field together, then you put Tremaine Edmonds in the middle. I know I'm kind of going off topic, but yikes, yikes. Get excited about that.
All right, guys. John at Santucci_John asks, how did a New Yorker like Shane and a New Englander like Phil become Bears fans?
Well, my story is I was young, I was like 9 years old, I believe, 8 or 9 years old when the Bears made their Super Bowl run. And where I live and where I grew up, it's huge. It's a basketball factory. It's basketball 24/7, 365. But I played basketball my whole life, but I always loved football. I loved to watch Walter Payton, and I just chose Chicago kind of right out of the blue. They were all over TV that year, and so I started following them. And you guys have heard all the stories about my degenerate family members that are mainly Eagles fans, and I'm me along with my son that I've completely brainwashed. He's a Chicago Bears fan, so there's no real specific reason, just kind of luck of the draw. So I don't know.
Lucked out.
Yeah, I don't know how lucky it is. It's been a lot of L's, but I would never root for another team. I see some of these guys that go around wearing a throwback jersey for another player on another team. That doesn't happen in my house, and it never will.
Shane, I got a question for you from the chat room. Is it true that white men can't jump?
I can dunk. I can dunk a basketball. 6'3".
We need video. We need video of this.
I can get you some documentary proof of that. Yeah.
All right. Bring it up.
I can do that.
That'll be a barroom special.
Nikki Kurtz is reminding us that 5'6" white boys can't jump.
Or drive.
So my father was a head football coach for 33 years. I grew up in a football house, and my father was a Giants fan growing up, and I remember it like it was yesterday. There's a lot of things I forget, but this moment I'll never forget. My father asked me as a little kid, I was in third grade, what do you want to be? I want to play running back. Okay. So tomorrow we're going to watch some running backs and you tell me which one's the best. And we joke about it. This is the moment where you got your scouting eyes. So the next day or whatever, there's a video VHS. He pops in of NFL films, and the running backs were all playing. And it was Billy Sims and Tony Dorsett, Franco Harris. This guy from the Vikings, I can't remember his name. I don't know why. Good back. And then this 34 came on the screen. And I just was infatuated in that moment of saying, that's the guy right there. And I go, what is he? Where does he? He's like, he's a Chicago Bear. And I go, well, I want to be Walter Payton. It's just like Shane. I'm loyal to a fault. Any Bears fan outside of Chicago, I always say, has to be loyal in their life because of the losses and the ridiculousness of it. But in that moment with my father, who, unlike Shane and myself, didn't brainwash me to be a Giants fan, my life would have turned a whole different way. He tested me, and he laughs to this day, and he always says, Walter Payton, the greatest to ever to ever play. And I saw it right then and there as a young kid, and that was, what, 1982 that I saw that video? And ever since then, I've been completely about the Bears.
So I think Chuck Foreman was the player that you Chuck were trying Foreman, to remember. Chuck Foreman, that is,
thank you so much.
You're very Great. Welcome. So the last question I got for you guys is for both of you, because you're both blocked by him. Your thoughts on the news that Matt Forte is signing a one-day contract to retire with the Bears?
Can I go first, Shane?
Go ahead.
You know what, Matt? Honestly, I know you listen to us debate. There's no hard feelings. I'm very grateful for what you brought to the table, but I live and breathe football and the truth. And unfortunately, sensitivity came to fruition for you, and I ask that you just let go of that, because not only do I respect you as a football player and as a human being, but I'm grateful that you retire and get this contract. There's no animosity whatsoever to me in regards to this happening or transpiring with the Bears. In fact, it is applauded, and it should happen. That's how a player should be. But ultimately, I'm not going to take back the truth of my assessment in regards to both players being assessed in an impossible time warp of at the same time. Who would I choose? And I would always choose Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I'm on board with what Phil said. I think Matt got a little thin-skinned there with our Kaplan debate, and he ended up blocking all three of us, we found out tonight at the same time. But no, I was a big fan of Matt 2008 when he came out, and he had a lot of great years here, and I thank him for that. I'm looking at a autographed jersey that I have hung on my wall down here in my Bears cave at my house. So I've always been a big fan, and not only was he a fabulous football player on the field, he was an even better person off of it. I had a chance to meet him at a Buffalo Bills preseason game, and he couldn't have been nicer and more gracious. But at the same time, like Phil said, when it was time, when his contract was coming up, it was time for the Bears. You know, as mad as people get, it was time for the Bears to move on and make the change at that position, and that's the nature of the business. But I wish him well, and I think he's got big things in store for him off the field, and I think he'll be around football, so I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Phil, let's start wrapping up this show with your closing thought.
I was hoping Aldo would play the audio. Does he have it or no?
They're going to be successful no matter what situation you place them in.
This is Troy Apke.
Oh, man, he can run.
Why are you surprised, Dan?
Oh, you know why I'm surprised. I can't say it on TV, but he can run.
He was a track guy.
Right.
He was a guy.
But yeah. But you're saying it with an
edge. You don't tone. See that much.
You're saying it to come back.
Let's call it what it is. I like that,
he
man.
He just ran 4.35.
Hey, man, let me go hug him.
At 215 pounds.
I'm going to hug him. Hey, man, that was good, man. You can run.
Excuse me, 200 pounds.
I try. Oh, you man, good job.
I just want to make sure as you're watching this on your screen, is there a proper white balance on that?
That is unbelievable right there. I'm drafting him.
You hear the audio, and as a coach's son and as a human being and as a father, I really took it upon myself to text the group and say, please grab this audio, because I really have something to say in my final comments on Bears Hour Live. And this is the second or third time I've seen or heard Dion make this kind of reference. Was I personally offended? No, I wasn't personally offended. Do I think he meant it in a malicious way in any way? No, I hope not, and I really don't think so. However, in today's society, where we are judged by what we say on the air or on social media, and also the texture or the tone that we may say something, especially, if you will, in a society where Caucasian race is rightfully being asked to check themselves and clean up their act. To me, this was a complete double standard of Deion Sanders to be able to, quote, toe that line. You're broadcasting on national TV the biggest event in the spring for the NFL, or second to the draft. And this echoes through the hallways of high schools and colleges around the country. You have a responsibility and a platform as a professional to recognize this kid has worked his entire life to get to this pinnacle moment in his sport, in a job interview, to be properly assessed in front of his peers and 32 teams with his mother and family and father watching at home with friends and neighbors. Troy Apke of Penn State is blowing up his job interview like anybody would want their son or anybody in their job. And I feel like Deion took this moment and put his best foot forward to talk and be Deion and make it about Deion. So I say shame on you, Deion. Shame on you, not only for letting your prejudices show and your bias, but for allowing the double standard into our sport to begin with and to continue in a sport that I love in 2018. It was not fair. It was wrong. And I feel like he owes the country and that young man an apology and his family. And that is my final thought.
All right. Well, who said the offseason was boring? Our chat room, this show, and Twitter were certainly lit up tonight. And here is what some barflies had to say. Source egg. Sources have told me that Kyle Fuller may or may not be transition tagged. Hashtag deep insider. Bob Phelan says letting Kyle Fuller just walk out the door and getting nothing in return is straight stupid.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah Robles says, Phil, would you draft Griffin?
Yes, I would. I want those kind of players on my team, and he proved he has value.
Frankie Myers says, I'd love for Cousins to go to the Vikings and put their cap in a straight stranglehold with all the young talent they have to re-sign soon.
Absolutely. Shane was telling me, what, $91 million guaranteed for that guy, Shane?
Three years, $91 million, all of it guaranteed.
The first contract of its kind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Bearded Bears fan says, I like to picture my doctor in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says I'm formal, but I like to party.
Well, how does he know what I'm wearing right now? Jesus, this kid must be on the Miss Cleo network.
He's got psychic sources. Friends.
He's got sources. He's got source egg is scrambled up.
Trey Busy in the house, and he says it's a good thing that Josh Allen is reasonably fast. He would be able to catch defensive backs when he throws interceptions.
Oh, jeez. Josh Allen, mark my words, Trey. I'm saying it right here. I'm putting my stamp. Let's see where he goes. Because where he lands, we don't know yet, but I believe that kid's going to be special. We'll come back to that, Aldo. We'll revisit that with Trey.
All right, guys. Friendly reminder that Bears 100 Proof will be out on Wednesday this week in a very special scouting edition of Bears on Tap with our very own Danny Shimon and West Coast Phil Rainey will be out on Friday. Thanks to everyone listening in and interacting with us tonight. We love connecting with you here and online. That wraps up this edition of Bears Hour Live, and we will see you all next week.
How are we going to top this show tomorrow?
I think that debate is going to continue tomorrow.
Get off my ankles, Phil.
We got the debate of We got the Shane Aldo debate to tease, too.
We do, yes. The one that didn't make it to last week.
Well, it's going to go down tomorrow. Got a lot to debate.
Aldo's going to be screaming like the Hawks won the Stanley Cup.
God bless. Always bear down.